begin with this today's Bible study. It is about the power of a spirit-filled life. Okay? And I had sent you the questions. I know you probably didn't have a chance to go over them, but let's just begin the lesson. Because, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's powerful. It is necessary and vital to live this life. You have to be filled with this Holy Spirit. This doesn't automatically come with salvation. For some people, if they get prayed over immediately after, they can receive it, right? But for most people, it doesn't come at the same time. I mean, it took me a while to be spirit-filled because I wasn't aware of it. I never heard really people speaking in tongues when I first got saved in the church. As a matter of fact, they didn't really believe in prophetic words, which I found that very unusual. So we're going to begin, and I'm going to get my Bible. I'm going to begin in Mark 16, chapter 16. I'm going to read from my New King James Version. And we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to go to chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Okay. Are we there?
Yes.
All right. So, you know, these two verses are known as the Great Commission. Okay. And here Jesus said to his disciples, right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, right? And let's go to, let's make a comparison here. Let's go to the book of Acts, right? Let's go to chapter, verse 5 and 12, the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts 8, let's go to 5. And it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Okay? So you know, when we read, we're going to read verse 12 too, but we see how this commission, because, you know, we all have a great commission. God has called us to go out and make disciples. Go into all nations, preach the gospel, and preach it to every person that you are in contact with. And the word says that those that believe will be baptized and will be saved. And those who don't believe, they'll be damned, right? That's another word for condemned, right? So in Acts verse 5, we see how the commission was worked, right? Out through the preaching of Philip in Samaria, right? We just read it. And let's go to verse 12 from the same chapter. And then it says here, but when they believed Philip, right, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Okay? So the question is, did these people of Samaria become Christians according to Mark 16, 15 through 16? That we just read before? Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Philip,
men and women were baptized.
Exactly. Because Philip went to the city of Samaria, right? He preached the good news. He preached Jesus Christ. And through faith in Christ, they were baptized. Both men and women were baptized. So according to the Great Commission, we could say that these people were saved. But had they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? question mark. Okay? So the Bible speaks about John baptizing in water, but only the Lord Jesus Christ could baptize with the Holy Spirit. So according to the scripture, people believed, were saved, they were water baptized, right? But they had never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we know that from scripture. We know that because that didn't take place until Pentecost happened, right? So no one had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to the book of Acts. Let's go to verse 14 now. You should be there because we just read 12. Acts 8, 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Ghost, right? Once Peter laid hands on them, right? So we can see from reading the scripture right now, right, that just because a person has believed, been baptized, and saved doesn't mean they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has come into their lives, like in John, and I'm going to go to John 20:22. Let's go to John 20:22, right? John 20:22 says, and when he had said this, speaking of the Lord, right? He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That's when the apostles were commissioned, okay? So in John 20:22, we see that the Holy Spirit regenerated the disciples, right? But it was on the day of Pentecost that they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and empowered by God. How many of us know that we as Christians, as believers, we need to be empowered by God by the baptism of the Holy Spirit? There is a difference between the quickening of the Holy Spirit in salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit when he comes upon us, upon an individual. Okay? There is also an immersion, right, in the Holy Spirit that comes upon individuals and empowers them. So even though a person has been saved, right, it doesn't mean they have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, correct? I wasn't baptized with the Holy Spirit for a long time because I was clueless. I was clueless, okay? Let's go back to the book of Acts chapter 19. And let's go to verses 1 and 2. Okay, so Acts 19, 1 and 2, it says, and it happened, right? While Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. It sounds like me. I didn't even know that. I wasn't aware. I hadn't heard that there was a Holy Spirit. I had no idea. I just knew that I'm not going to hell. I got saved. I'm in right standing with God. God loves me. All right, I'm good. I'm good. You know? So, but this wakes you up here, right? And then Paul said, what we read, Paul said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? And they said, we don't even know. We don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Have you even said that? I don't even know. I know I have when I first got saved, born again. And then Paul said, well, if you weren't baptized with the Holy Spirit when you believe, what were you baptized with? They said, well, we were baptized with John's baptism. That's what they said, right? So I believe Paul explained more perfectly about the Lord Jesus being the Christ, as these and these believers then identified, right, with the Lord Jesus through water baptism. But in verses 6 and 7, let's go there. And we're going to read from here, verses 6 and 7. We're still in 19. It says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. So check this out. I mean, right away, you know, Paul became aware that they had no idea what the Holy Spirit was. And then Paul explained about the difference between the water baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit, right? And when he prayed over them and he laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and right away they spoke in tongues, and the word of God is saying they even prophesied. And there was at least about 12 men there, the word says. So even though these people were disciples, right, who believed in the Messiah who was to come, they hadn't been baptized with the Holy Spirit. A person can be born again and water baptized without having been baptized with the Holy Spirit. That was my case. So the baptism of in the Holy Spirit is a separate, distinct experience from conversion. Okay? So even though, you know, we know from scripture that it says go out to the nations and make disciples, not converts, right? Make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Well, that's totally different. Because for you to become a disciple, you got to be saved first. But then you also need to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's a total separate experience that you receive. Because when they lay hands on you, or you get prayed over, or some people, it just they ask for it in their private room, and they just begin to speak in tongues, or they go to a conference or one of those stadium revival places, and everybody gets prayed for, and they all receive, and they just start speaking in tongues, just like Pentecost, right? But I tell you, that's necessary, and that's a whole separate spiritual experience that a believer can have. Right. So although I can baptize a person in water, which I did like back in August, and I've done it in Benit's pool, on one of the summers, I can't baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Only the Lord Jesus can do that. Okay?
The only thing that you do is the water for them to come repentance and believing in Jesus Christ.
Right. You know, that water baptism, it just represents so much, right? Because you're leaving the old man, like symbolic, right? You're leaving the old person down under the water, and when you come up, you know, symbolically, you gotta believe that you are cleansed. You are cleansed, and you wanna do things right now. You wanna please God. You wanna move forward, you know. Yeah. But you haven't received yet the baptism in the Holy Spirit, right?
True.
Yes. And only the Lord can do that. You see, I can pray over you, and it is the Lord in me, that baptizes you. I don't. It's the Lord in me. I'm just a conduit. I'm just a bridge that connects God to the believer, the one that desires to speak in tongues, that desires to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask, if you have never asked Jesus to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, why don't you ask him now? Because look at what the word says. Look at the, let's go to Luke, right? 11:13. Let's go to Luke 11:13. This word is so good. Because you can pass this word on to others, right? Yeah. Luke 11:13 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Amen.
So if you have not received the Holy Spirit, do not wait any longer, not another second. And why don't you ask him today? Today, not tomorrow, not tonight, today. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. So I know, Rosie, I know you received the Holy Spirit. Have you, Liz?
Amen.
Amen. Because we got to, let me tell you, I got to make it a practice to speak more and more in the Holy Spirit in tongues. Gotta make it a practice. Like, it's something that I fall short. Honestly, I fall short. I need to do it more and more often. Amen. We all do. Because when you're praying, in tongues, you're praying the perfect prayer to God the Father. You don't even know what you're praying for. But before you even start speaking in tongues, say, Lord, you know, whatever prayer I'm going to give you right now, Lord, through tongues, Lord God, bring revelation, God.
Amen.
Bring me discernment of those prayers, Lord God. Show Amen. Me. Give me a vision. Tell me, you know, reveal to me what is it that I'm praying for. Because the word says that whatever, when you speak in tongues, you are talking to him and you are praying. And you're asking the perfect prayer. I mean, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Spirit knows. Your Spirit knows. The Spirit of God. It knows exactly what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. Amen? It is perfect. Your Spirit is perfect. Remember I said before, as the Lord is, so are you in this world.
Yes.
Your Spirit is perfect. Amen? Amen. Hi, Melissa. Let's go to the questions, right?
Yep.
And we have the verses on the right-hand side. And I think we've read some of them already, right?
Uh-huh.
So we read, I believe, Mark 16:16, and we read Acts 8 and 5 and 12. And this is the question. Did the people described in Acts 8:12 become Christians?
Yes.
They sure were, right? They were, I believe from, if I recall, there were men and women, right? That's right. If you look at the side in Acts 8:12, it says that they were baptized. Both men and women were baptized.
Yes, they became Christians.
Yep, so they became believers. They became Christians.
Amen.
In Acts 8, 14 through 16, which I believe we read, correct? How did these people receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit?
They only were baptized.
No, I'm sorry. That's not what I read it wrong. Had, not how. Had these people received the baptism with the Holy Spirit when we read these verses?
Only they were baptized in the name of
That's right.
Says, what? Sorry.
Question two. Question two.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Because it's referring to the book of Acts 8:14-16. And when Peter and John, right? They sent Peter and John over there.
They come down, prayed for them, and that they might receive the Holy Spirit.
But they hadn't yet.
Well,
but they did afterwards.
Right,
yeah. Yes. Yeah, because because 15 does say when they came down, they had to pray for them that they might receive it. So they hadn't received it yet.
Right.
But once Peter and John, right, prayed over them, then they became filled with the Holy Spirit. But right. they were only baptized in the name of the Lord, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
19:6-7. That's when they laid hands on
them. Later on, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's in Acts 19:6-7.
Okay. 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 That's another question, right? Yep. All right. So Acts 19:1-5. 9 through 5. I mean 1 through 5. I believe we read it too, right? And yes. you can take a minute to read it. And the question is, are these people believers?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because they baptize them into repentance, that they should believe in Jesus Christ.
Right. They were already saved. They were believers already. So, you guys good?
Now, can I ask you a question on that? Are these the ones that were disciples of John, or these disciples of Christ, you know?
Well, this is jumping. This is jumping from different, because in this one, in the book of Acts, now speaking about Paul.
Okay.
Right, so so it is talking about different disciples here, different stories, right? Because we started in Mark, and then in Acts, we know that Peter was the one that preached when Pentecost happened, but then later on in those chapters, now we see already Paul converted, and now Acts 19 is referring back to Paul, right?
No, because I remember, where it was when they were asked about receiving the Holy Spirit, they said no, that we were baptized in the teachings of John the Baptist, when John the Baptist was baptizing. That's why I'm asking the question.
Gotcha.
To see exactly where this teaching, the difference.
Right. Okay. So we said, are these people believers in Acts 19:1-5? We said yes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. All right, let's go to this is what Liz was saying before in Acts 19:6-7. Had they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? In this verse. 19:6-7. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12 of them.
Yes. So I guess we're coming here with 12. Okay.
Yeah. So number four, right? I don't know why, but number four on my study guide, it says, no, had they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I guess they hadn't received that before Paul laid hands on them, right?
Yes, they did not before Paul laid their hands.
Right, so I think it's just trying to make the distinction once again, right? That yes. it shows that the experience of receiving the Holy, baptizing in the Holy Spirit is different from being saved. It's just making that distinction on the study guide. Because a lot of people, believe it or not, a lot of, I guess young believers, right, or unbelievers, they really don't know the difference about salvation, water baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit. They don't really know the difference. I know I didn't in the beginning when I first got saved. So I think this question is just trying to make a distinction that the people, those 12, I guess those 12 men had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when Paul first came to them, but then afterwards, after he laid hands on them, then they received.
So it's a yes, no question answer.
Yeah, I guess it's really, it could go either way, right? Because
it's a no answer, and then it's a yes answer.
Exactly. That is so true, right?
Yeah.
So
to me that was yes, because they laid hands on them and they received.
Right. I guess because they put it had they received.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why it's no. Okay? All right.
Oh, so let me circle that.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
All right, so in Luke, the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke 11:13, what does Luke 11:13 say we need to do to receive the Holy Spirit? The scripture's right there.
Yes.
That's right. That's how simple. I don't know why it made it so difficult in my life to receive. I don't know what it was. I don't know. Maybe it was fear. Who knows? I don't know why I waited so long to speak in tongues. But I know when I had somebody lay hands on me, it didn't happen right away. So anyway, but I started with syllables, right? And then little by little, it just increased. So thank God for that, right? But all you got to do is just ask. Ask and you shall receive.
The Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask.
Correct.
So if it's that easy, when you ask and you receive, so it's the same thing when you ask Him for other things that you can receive, that you receive.
Yes, it is. And it is that easy, and then we make it so difficult, right?
Right.
We make it difficult. I've also heard many, I know a man, I don't know his name, I forgot, but there's a man that does a podcast that he'll tell you, I don't need to have the Holy Spirit, you know, just like that. Just like that. Yeah. And
preacher?
I don't think he's a pastor or anything, but I think he's a believer, but he doesn't believe that we need to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
So he's a Christian.
Exactly.
He's a Christian.
Right.
Not a believer.
Right.
The difference.
Yeah.
I think
you have the Holy Spirit. You don't need it. So you're not a believer. Right. You're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go to heaven. But you're missing out on the benefits.
Missing out.
Visiting God's word.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And he doesn't. I said, okay. So he's limited. He's limiting himself of what of the ministry that God has called them to do, right? Limiting himself when other people can use his, you know, Jesus, that he, you know, we exemplify Jesus, right? People need the Lord. People need to be prayed over. People need to be to have hands laid over them. People need to be healed, delivered, restored. Yeah. You know, amen. And without the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't do that.
That's right.
Because then they're just your words.
Yeah. Oh boy, I tell you, I don't know.
All right. 1 Corinthians 14:12. I don't think we read these scriptures, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, these we didn't read. So let's read these verses, okay? 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, "For he that speaks in an unknown language," right? Tongue, "speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, how in the spirit he speaks mysteries," right? So, right, that's what it says. Let me go to my Bible version. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries, right? So, you know, we can't understand the language, but in the spirit, the Lord is speaking mysteries, right? So when a person speaks in tongues, what are they doing? Yeah, and they're speaking to God. They're speaking to God. That's amazing, right? That we can communicate in that way. That's why the Word of God says that we were made to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. In spirit. That means speaking in tongues. And in truth, speaking word. When we speak to God, we're speaking in truth. We're speaking his word. We speak in his language when we speak in tongues.
Yes.
God is the one that gives us the understanding and the revelation, right? This is why I tell a lot of people, personalize Ephesians 1:15-23. Personalize it. Pray this every day so that your eyes of your heart will be enlightened, and that the spirit of wisdom and understanding will be upon you, so that you may know the calling that God has placed on your life. And you know what our purpose is to know the Lord. Our purpose is I think it's, and I'm gonna go there because I, Romans 8:29, if you have a Bible. Well, you know, it starts in Romans 8:28, but a lot of people leave Romans 8:29 out, right? So Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called," that's us, "according to his purpose," because we love God and we are the called. So therefore, everything works out for the good for us, because it is according to his purpose. Why? Because we love him, right? And we are the called of him. However, 8:29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined," right? That's us. "To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So not only that, he predestined for us to be conformed to his image.
Amen.
To the Lord's image. And that is What is the Lord's image? It is His spirit. It is His, it's the spirit of God. Again, as He is, so are we in this world. We are spiritual beings. Mm-hmm. We're not God, but we represent the Lord Jesus right now on earth. And He already, this is already, He's already predestined us. He's predestined us for victory. For victory. Yes. He foreknew and predestined believers to be like Christ. Amen. We are, you can say we are little Christ. We're not God, but we are little Christ. We represent Him. He lives and resides in us, right? And that's good news right there. That's really good news. And when God calls, those God calls, He justifies. We have right standing with the Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:14. First Corinthians 14:14 says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." That's what we were talking about, right? So when a person speaks in tongues, what are they doing?
The spirit's praying.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
The spirit is praying directly to God. It is 101. It is a vertical. It's not horizontal. Vertical. You're praying to God the Father. Praying to God.
Amen.
Praying mysteries. Amen. Praying things you didn't even know you're praying for. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's read let's read verses 16 and 17. It says, "Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say?" So in other words, if you're praying in tongues, right? Unless you interpret the tongues, people are not going to understand what you're saying, right? So 17 says, "For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified." Right? I think we should have read 15. Because it began in 14, right? "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." And 15 says, what is the conclusion then, right? "I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other's not edified."
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's why it said, you know, that's why they tell you, like, especially in a church setting, if you're going to speak in tongues, right? And, you know, we know that everything has to be in decency and in order. But if you're going to speak in tongues, you better have a revelation. You better have a bring it forth in the understanding that people will understand it. Otherwise, it will not edify the congregation.
Yeah.
Correct?
Because they don't know what God is trying to tell them.
Exactly. So, you know, if a person has a prophetic gift or has the office of a prophet, right, they should be prophesying in a church setting. I think prophetic words should be coming every Sunday after Sunday, right? And but if those prophetic words are not being interpreted or being spoken, being translated into English, then it profits people nothing. It doesn't edify the congregation.
Yeah.
And this is what Paul is saying. Right? So, So, when a person speaks in tongues, what are they doing? This is question 8. Yeah, so when a person speaks in tongues, yeah, not only are they talking to God, but one, they're blessing God.
They're blessing the Spirit.
With their spirit, and they're giving thanks, right, to God. They're praising God. So this is why it's so necessary for us to speak in tongues. We're blessing the Lord. We're thanking Him in the Spirit, right? And at the same time, our spirit is being edified.
Amen.
We are being encouraged. And we are praising and worshiping God while we do this. It's a win-win situation for believers to speak in tongues, to be spirit-filled. It's a win-win situation here. All right, let's read Acts 2:4. And it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, right? So the question is, when someone speaks in tongues, is the Holy Spirit speaking or the personal individual speaking?
I believe the personal individual is speaking.
But
yeah.
Also that the Spirit gives them utterance.
Right.
Yep. The person speaks
that
the Holy Spirit gives them the words to speak. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just... It's the utterance is the act of speaking often with divine inspiration, power, authority. God, you know.
Exactly. Yep. It's something that we ought to do, like I said, daily and often. And God is so pleased when we do that.
Amen.
The next question is regarding the same verse. Who is giving utterance to the person?
The Holy Spirit.
The Spirit. The Spirit Himself.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. The Holy Spirit. Exactly. So it is... It is a really good thing, right, to have, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that every believer should be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know a lot of people, for some reason, they're afraid. I don't know why. They're just afraid to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When from the study we just did, It is an act of empowerment. It empowers you.
Amen.
To do the works that the Lord did. It empowers you.
Gives you the authority. Amen.
Exactly. You got power. You got authority. You have dominion, right? And the beautiful of all this, the beauty of it is that when you speak in tongues, you're blessing God. You're blessing God. You're praising Him. You're speaking His language. And in the same token, you are praying a prayer that only the Holy Spirit knows, because He knows what you're in need of. And then as individuals, like we just read, just ask, right? Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, reveal to me what I just prayed. Just reveal it to me, you know? And I know God is faithful and God will answer, because God is God. Amen.
You know, it may not also always be in words, but in certain situations.
Right.
He answered.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, as we know, we can get answers by reading the word. through a TV program, through another individual, through a radio, through a Bible study like tonight, you can get the answer. God can use anyone and anything.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I remember that he used a donkey in the Old Testament, right? To speak. Right? It was it Jacob or something? It was one of those stories. I forgot. I should look it up. But even he used donkeys, right, to speak.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
He'll use anything and anything. I mean, just to get your attention. You know, like I was talking to my son the other day, and this really happened. And then I walked from the living room and he got on to play, right? He loves his videos, right? My son's 31. And I went to the bathroom, right? And I said, there he goes again, playing. And then I heard a small voice that said, you know, I speak to your son through those games. Just like that. Just like that. And I was like, whoa. You know, because he's constantly and then I went to my son, I said, oh my God, you know what God just told me? I just went to the bathroom because I started complaining about you getting on that game again. And he says, just like that, you know, I speak to your son, you know, through those games while he's playing. And my son just put a big smile on. I know, Mom, because I can relate to this. Yeah, I can relate with the Holy Spirit. I can relate to God in these games and this and that. And I mean, God will get your attention whichever way he can.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
God will get your attention.
like the other thing with my daughter, right? She goes to therapy, right? And she says, you know, I feel I'm so far from the Lord. I feel like I, you know, we don't have conversations. I don't hear from him and this and that. Mind you know, God is always speaking, right? So that she began to ask her a lot of questions. To make a long story short, it turns out that when my daughter used to draw, right, that's when she was closest to God, because it was through that drawing, through the inspiration of her drawing and her creativity, that the Lord would speak to her during those sessions. So the therapist told her, you need to go back to that. You need to begin to draw, because that is a place where, you know, God has your full attention. And that was like, wow. I was like, wow, that she shared that with me. I was blown away. I said, oh my goodness. So, you know, God will get your attention. So if he can't get it during the day, he probably give you a dream.
Right.
And he'll awaken you like at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, and he'll mention your name. And it's like, did I just hear somebody calling me? You know, but he will get your attention. What am I saying? That the Spirit knows. The Lord yearns to have relationship with you. He wants intimacy. He wants one-on-one. He wants you to speak in tongues. He wants you to pray his language. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to sit with him. Because he's always talking. And we need answers. We need a lot of answers for life, right? I know I need a lot of answers from God. I need a lot of guidance from God, because I have a project with Beacon of Light Church that I gotta commence, and I need his strategies, his guidance, you know, his ideas, right? Because mine are not gonna work. He knows exactly what I need to do, how to do it, when to do it, so we can get the church, Beacon of Light Church, and come to pass and build it, right? In his timing. So I need him. So God is always speaking. My point. God is always speaking. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power, because there's power, right, in the Holy Spirit. There's power in the name of Jesus. And he gifted you with the Holy Spirit, but you just got to ask for it and you shall receive it in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. I asked for it and I received it in Jesus' name. Amen.